We want to pray this morning. Just rise up. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you because you are the King of Kings.
Yes, you are.
You are our God. And you are our healer.
Yes, you are, Lord. Thank you.
Let every sickness, everything that is not of you, that is resident in our body this morning, let them disappear in the mighty name of Jesus. We command them to go out in the name of Jesus. Because they are not of God. And because that is not God's plan for anyone present here this morning. Every evil report from the doctors, they are nullified this morning by the blood of Jesus. They are nullified, they are canceled, they are erased in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare this morning, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Bible says we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Lord, this morning we declare that we are healed in the name of Jesus. Devil, you have no place here. You have no place in our homes. You have no place in our careers. You have no place in our family. Therefore, we decree unto you, get out in the name of Jesus. The Bible says you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. This morning, we decree in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do unto you. Because we have asked in your name this morning, it is so in the name of Jesus. And we receive our healing.
Yes, we do.
Lord, as you bring your word to us this morning, let our hearts be simple to receive from your table. Thank you, gracious Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Can I hear you shout mighty amen?
Amen.
Shout a mighty amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can please take our seat. God bless you. Thank you. Whew. Is somebody ready to hear from the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
I'm excited because God is doing wonderful and great things here. God is doing wonderful things.
Yes, He is.
Wonderful things that very soon you'll be coming out with your own testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Bring him, Lord.
This morning, it is a very wonderful topic that is very dear to the heart of the Lord. Very, very dear. In fact, this topic is as old as the creation itself. It is something that began in the Garden of Eden. So this morning we'll be talking about the biblical pattern for marriage. What did I say? The biblical pattern. For what?
Marriage.
Can you repeat that?
Biblical pattern for marriage.
Correct. The biblical pattern for marriage. And in case you're here, you say, well, I'm not married, and that topic doesn't apply to me. You may be wrong. Hallelujah. Because we are all from one family or the other.
Yeah.
All right? And in case you're here, you're thinking, well, I'm very old now, and I don't think this topic applies to me. You also may be wrong. Or maybe you think, oh, well, I'm a widow or I'm a widower, and it doesn't really apply to me. You also may be wrong. So maybe I want to start from the elderly people who may think this topic doesn't even apply to them. So we're going to start from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. Titus. So let's start from the elderly people. Sorry, in case you start seeing this, my cable, you know, running up and down. All right. The older women, likewise, if you read it from maybe verse 2, can we take it from verse 2? Is it possible? From verse 2. It says, teach the older women, likewise, that they be relevant in behavior. No slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands. So if I may ask, what is God's commandment according to these scriptures to the older women? It is to do what? To teach younger women, is to admonish the younger women to do what? To love their husbands. So in case you are thinking, I'm old, this topic doesn't apply to me, it applies to you because you've got a responsibility here. One of the responsibility of elderly women is to teach younger women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. So I guess that is settled in our mind that even elderly women, this topic applies to you. All right, so let's jump quickly back to the book of Genesis. I'm going to read quickly because of our time. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. And then we're going to read verse 31. And then jump quickly to Genesis chapter 2, 18 to 24. Just to lay the foundation. Because most of what we'll be discussing this morning will be extracted from Genesis. Because that's the very first marriage and the very first home that God himself established. And so we want to derive the principles, the biblical principles for marriage. All right, so then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Right. So is that the end of that? So quickly, let's jump to Genesis chapter 2, 18 to 24. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So the very first principle this morning is that marriage is God's idea. What did I say? Marriage is whose idea? It's God's idea. When he created man, according to that passage that we read, it wasn't man that said, oh, I think I need a wife now. No. It was God. Bible says everything he had created was very good. But God said something was not good. It is not good that man be alone. So it was God's own idea. He was the one who said it is not good, or it wasn't good for Adam to live all by himself. So I'd like to say to somebody here this morning, in case you are thinking that the government, it is government, that marriage is government's idea, you're making a big mistake. It's not government's idea. It is not your father's idea. Neither is it your mama's idea. Marriage is whose idea? God. So then, if we want to enjoy marriage, then who do we go back to? You go back to who?
The Word.
Go back to God.
Amen.
Because he is the originator of marriage.
Yes, he is.
But you know what I see today? People run to government. People run to their mama to get ideas of how to run their homes. People run even to celebrities to give them ideas how to run their homes. And there's so many ideas out there. Ideas coming from celebrities whose marriage is even in shambles. And they're teaching people wrong things. So marriage, it's not celebrity's idea. It is whose idea? God's idea. And so if we want to live and enjoy our marriage, we got to go back to the Bible. And get the foundation and principles that makes marriage pleasurable.
Yes, amen.
Number two. You saw that we read from Genesis, the Bible said, and he created man. Male and female created he them. Why then do I see different suggestions in the world today? They say marriage is between man and man. And they say marriage is between female and female. When did we get it upside down? If you are confused, can you please check the chickens at your backyard? The chickens aren't confused. The animals, I have not seen them confused.
No.
Up to tomorrow, see the animals. You're going to see the heacock chasing the sea chicken. They are not confused. But we are more intelligent. Why are we confused? Marriage is God's idea. Why do we turn it upside down? The male and female created he them. Very simple. Number three principle that we need to know, or do I call it concept? What I've been talking so far is the concept, is the idea, what God originally designed before we get to the principle. So we have talked about two concepts already. The first concept, it is God's idea. The second concept is between male and female. And then the third concept is that families should be blessed. Bible says, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful. So the concept of marriage is that you come into fruitfulness. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he that findeth a wife, findeth a bad thing. Is that what is there in your Bible? What did he find? A good thing! Why then do we hear men say women are necessary evil? Mm-hmm. Why? That's someone's idea. And unconsciously we imbibe it and live with it. And it has turned our marriages upside down. Unconsciously we imbibe those wrong principles that are coming from men's wisdom. So God's intention, Bible says, that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Did he stop there? No. And he did what? He obtaineth favor.
Yeah, obtained favor.
From the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Whenever God blesses a man with a good thing, like a woman, blessing is supposed to follow.
Yes.
If we will live in the scripture, live in the word of God, marriage is supposed to bring about fruitfulness. Because that's what the Bible says. They be fruitful and multiply. And you know one interesting thing that I read in the book of Genesis was that ever before the marriage started, everything they were going to need was already provided.
Already provided.
God took 5 solid days making the preparation. Putting everything in place, the birds, every beautiful thing, the garden, everything was available. And he just brought them in there. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
That's number 3 concept. Number 4 concept. Marriage is not between man and animal. No. Can you quickly bring up that scripture? Is the scripture okay? God bless you. You're doing a wonderful job. God bless you. I like to paint the story so that you can understand what we're talking about. God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. But God did not go ahead and commence the work of making a help meet for him. You know what God did first? He paraded all the animals. He paraded all the animals before Adam. He paraded them all. And Bible says, out of the ground, he formed every beast of the field and all of that, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Why many people end up in the wrong relationship is because they decided by themselves to put out some specifications. That man must be very tall, must be very slim, he must not be pot-bellied.
We're out.
He must be very rich.
We're out.
He must be famous.
We're out.
That's the mistake of most people from the very beginning of their marriages. And please forgive me this morning. You know, by God's grace, I made a covenant unto God that I will speak the truth at all times. I don't mean to run anybody down this morning. No, that's not the intention.
No.
We are all fallible.
Yes, we are.
We all have our mistakes. In fact, there is nobody who ever went into marriage with the intention that the marriage must collapse.
Right.
I haven't seen one. Mm-hmm. Everyone went in with good intention and with great expectations. But you know something? Unfortunately, the devil out there is never happy whenever the home is being established. He's always on the outlook to destroy any kind of home.
Yes.
You may be a bishop, you may be a pastor, the devil is out for that home. But it takes understanding God's word to be able to stand your ground and ward the devil off your marriage. The mistake some people had made was made out of ignorance. Many people don't know. Many people never knew what were the biblical principles ever before they went into marriage. And that's why I want to congratulate you. In case you are here this morning, you are yet to be married. Now you are hearing about biblical principles.
Amen.
Don't make the mistakes some people have made. So Bible said, he brought those animals to Adam. And see what Adam will call it. And I try to imagine, what if Adam had called goat wife?
It'd be bad.
How did you do that? It would sound like, it would have been terrible. But Bible said, and whatever Adam caught, I was so happy that Adam was so intelligent, though inexperienced, but he was so intelligent to have known the right kind of name to call all those animals. I pray that God will give you spiritual intelligence so that when men are parading themselves before you as a spinster, you know the right kind of person that is parading before you. I pray for men and bachelors that are present here this morning, that when some ladies began to parade themselves before you, you know the kind of personality that is behind the flesh. Because not every being is meant for you. Not everybody is meant for you.
That's right.
Because Bible says, I will make a help fit for him. If I try to put my leg into pastor's shoe, this is bigger. So there's a shoe. When you go to the shop to buy a shoe, you're looking for a particular size, right? Does every shoe in that supermarket, is it fit for your leg? No. You can't take oversize, and you can't take undersize. You just have to look for the perfect shoe that matches you. I am size 44. If I go to the market and buy size 42, guess what will happen to my leg? Can you tell me what will happen to my leg? It's going to do what? It will hurt. If I force my leg in, what happens to the shoe? At a point, it might got turned off. That's what is happening to many marriages.
Trying to force it.
To force that leg into that shoe that is not your own match. It get turned off. And then you try to patch it. No matter what you do, it's never going to fit. So you will need God to open your eyes to see your match.
There you go.
So Adam gave names to all the cattle, birds of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a match. There was not found a helper comparable to him. So there was no match for Adam. So it was until Adam surrendered, there was no match for me in everything I've seen so far. And then God swung into action. And said, it caused Adam to sleep So if you want God to help you in marriage, especially when you are not yet married, you would need to sleep. And when I say sleep, it means you don't get yourself worked up.
There you go. That's good.
Don't work yourself up. About, he got to be this man, he got to be this, you know, I want to be married this year. You know, my friend Janet, he was married last year, and that one was married 2 years ago. They all had babies now. I want to be married this week. If you do that, you run into mistakes and run into troubles. And it may be troubles of many years. So sleep. Go and rest. And when you are resting, you ought to be doing God's work. There was an assignment for Adam.
That's right.
God said, till the ground, tend the garden, keep it. There was an be engaged in God's work. Serve the Lord. You can't be serving the Lord and God forget about your marriage. I am not bragging, but I think I give all the glory to the Lord.
Yes,
that he gave me my wife to lose. You know what? She had actually warned me that I shouldn't use her to preach. But thank peace to the Lord. I would have made the greatest mistakes of my life too.
Yeah.
Nobody is infallible.
That's right.
I remember talking to God in the year 2002. The Lord, I was just concluding my college then. And we were about preparing to go for a service in Nigeria. We call it National Youth Service Corps, where all newly graduates from colleges will be posted to different parts of the country, and then you just go and serve the government for one full year. You'll be paid stipends. And so coincidentally, I was serving the Lord and in a fellowship. So I was part of the fellowship in that state that I was posted. And my wife also was part of the fellowship. And gradually, I was made the president of the fellowship. She was the women coordinator of the fellowship. That was how we met. That was how God orchestrated us together. Mm-hmm. When you are in God's business, God cannot allow you fail in the place of marriage. It could be serving the Lord in the choir. Many young people who are so talented, wasting their time away when there is work to do in God's house.
Yes, there is.
You think you're going to get that perfect woman in the clubhouse?
No.
And every Friday you jump to the club? And you are hunting one lady? Hallelujah. The next concept. God is the maker of perfect partner.
Yes, he is.
He is the maker. It took time to form that woman that would be perfect for Adam. It took his time. I think I have an exercise to do at this juncture. I need 2 volunteers. 1 volunteer from this end, maybe a male. Another volunteer from this end, maybe a female. I just need 2 volunteers, quickly. I need a male from this end. And I need a female from this end. quickly. God bless you. All right, just stand there. God bless you. Just stand here. And just face the church. Just face the church. God bless you. I say face the church. Now, if God were to come to you, assuming you trust in God for marriage, if God were to come to you and said, you see, I'm about to make you the perfect man. And I'm giving you the privilege to tell me what you want to see in that man. What will be your response?
To love me.
To love you. And what else?
To honor God. Well, honor God first, then love me.
Love you. Okay. You wouldn't like to see tall. But you know, God was going to form him and going to design that guy.
It's only got to be God's word. God's got a plan.
Okay.
I'm not picky.
Yeah, really. And what if God starts making that man and makes him so short? And you were there when God is forming the guy, made him very short.
I'd be happy.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. What if God were to come to you this morning and said, you want a wife? And I'm about to make you a wife. What would you like to see? What would be your response?
Oh, beautiful. Nice job.
I like you. You're just sincere. I like you. This is the ring guy. I like you. That's it. Let's be truthful with ourselves. There are things you were looking out for. At that point, you were about to get married. That's the truth. Every man, every woman has those aspirations. And I like you being sincere. I like very frank people. Okay, so tell me, assuming you found God making something you don't like and you are really awake, you saw God making something, what would be your reaction?
Like it. Love it.
You love it? And what if God gives you a chance to make a suggestion how you want it to look?
Oh, yeah.
You say, oh, I don't like this nose. Can you fix it? God bless you. Have your seat. God bless you. The truth is that if it were probably me and I'm awake and God is fixing something, and it's fixing according to my specification. I said, Lord, please, I changed my mind. Please, fix this way. The truth is that there is a chance that I will probably have interrupted God. It was one of the reasons that God made Adam to sleep.
Yeah.
Because God knows us as human beings. We are very nosy. That's why when the devil came and gave suggestion about something, God said, don't go there. It's beautiful for the eyes. We are so inquisitive. We want to know everything. And we will probably have interrupted that. I said, God, no, I don't like that nose. It's too long. Or it's too wide like mine. Marriage, God is the maker of the perfect partner.
Yes, he is.
So we want to jump quickly to the biblical principles for successful marriage. What are the biblical principles? Number one, God is the source of the perfect spouse.
Yes,
he is the source. Just understand, let it sink, that it is only God that can give you that woman. It is the principle that we must understand that it is God that is the maker that can make for you that man. That can make for you that woman.
Uh-huh.
Then the second principle is transparency. Genesis 2:25. Look at it. And they were both naked, man and his wife. And we're not ashamed. If you follow the concept of marriage, you need the principle to sustain it. Having been given a wife or having been given a husband, then you need to understand these biblical principles.
Yeah.
That transparency is key to the success of that marriage. The first man and woman, Bible said they were both naked. Nothing to hide. But do you know today we have so many things we are hiding from our spouses.
Look out.
Your spouse does not even know how much you hate. He doesn't even know how you spend the money. He said, can I have some, I don't have money. You mean all the salary is gone? Yes, it's gone. I pay this bill, I pay that bill, I pay, and that's it. I said, when? I don't know. You just paid and everything is gone. Transparency.
Yeah.
If you are not transparent, that woman is going to think you're doing something that is fishy.
Yeah, something wrong.
Something wrong here. Be transparent. Know that marriage is God's idea.
Right.
Don't live by government's idea. When my wife and I were discussing some of these things during the week, I said to her, I said, look, there are some government's law that are anti-marriage.
Sure.
The government doesn't even want your marriage to succeed. They don't care. They don't care a bit about your home.
No.
There are some laws that are good. I appreciate that. But the truth is that it has made some people also live their life dishonestly.
Yeah.
That's some people, you might be surprised that some people are jumping from marriages to marriages because they are motivated by a law that says after so number of years with a man, you're going to get so much. So they are not out for companionship. They are not out for genuine relationship. They are just out for the money of the guy. So he got married to one today, and he's just there pretending like a good woman. And after 5 years, I'm divorcing, I'm quitting. He said, what for? I don't know. I don't love you anymore. I don't just love you anymore. I'm quitting. He's quitting because he knows once he's leaving, he's getting so much percentage. And it is also the reason why the man in the first place wasn't declaring all of his assets. Because he was thinking, what if this lady tomorrow says, I'm done. You mean it's going to go with all this that I've labored for? I'm going to also be very, very smart and wise. So they are living with each other as strangers. Living with each other in pretense. And playing the cat and dog games. That's not biblical principle.
No.
The biblical principle says, be transparent.
Yeah.
When you go into marriage, go with the mind that you are going with God. And let God, if you allow God to set your foundation right, you will have the right kind of relationship.
That's right.
And you will have no need to fear. Be transparent. Don't hide anything. It's just that my wife has said, don't preach about me. Maybe I should have been giving you some examples. But let me give this with permission.
Let it rip.
Back in Nigeria, I was working as a lamb surveyor, and I would get contracts in millions. My wife would be the one to go collect the check. Yes. In fact, I call her my secretary. There are clients up to today who are owing me certain amount. I don't even remember how much, but she knows how much. I will simply ask her, how much is so-so fellow? She wouldn't think she has it offhand. She just give me the figure. I say, okay, that should be correct. That's how God wants us to relate. Transparency. If you are transparent, you are peace.
Yeah.
You are not thinking, you are not bothered by anything. My wife can travel for 2 weeks. I'm not bothered that she's going to sleep with another man. Mm-hmm. It never crossed my mind for a bit. And if I travel, it never crosses. In fact, sometimes if I go out somewhere and I meet a woman, I will come back home. I met this lady today. I will tell her everything. The reason is because, you see, the Bible said the heart of a man is desperately wicked. There is a thin line between standing righteous and falling into unrighteousness. You've got to intentionally create. You must guard yourself. Intentionally guard yourself.
Yes.
Don't think I have never seen a woman that attracts me outside my wife. I will be lying to you. That would be a lie. But immediately, oh no, that cannot be. I am already, especially when I first got married. It will always happen when you are still very young in marriage. You would have been saying, oh, why didn't I see this fellow? Are you good? Some people, it happened to you, that's why you are smiling. Why didn't I see this lady ever before I married? Oh, this one looks more beautiful. It will usually happen when you were still young in marriage. But it rarely happens to me now. It doesn't even cross my mind. Because I've come to know my wife is the best for me.
Yes,
biblical principles for marriage. Transparency. Number three. Unity. Your unity is your weapon and defense if your marriage must succeed. Unity. Unity. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Let's look at that. Before we go to Ecclesiastes, we're going to come back here. Let's go quickly to Genesis. Good. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, unity, to his wife, and they shall become two flesh. Huh? One. One finance. One account. One decision. Unity. One. There is nothing like this is mine, that is his. One. Our car. Our properties, not mine or hers. This is the biblical principle. You shall leave father and mother. You see, the most difficult thing for us when we are going into marriage is to be separated from our loved one. Those people that have cared for us over the years is usually very difficult. It is difficult, especially at the point of marriage, to all of a sudden begin to trust completely somebody that you just met briefly, and now you are joined together. Now suddenly you have to trust that fellow completely, even much more than your father and your mother. That's difficult. But that's the biblical principle. Not even your father or mother is permitted to come between you. But what do I see people do today? They are always influenced by their families. about a decision. You have to take a decision between you and your wife. You go consult your mama first. Mama, my wife and I, we want to buy a car. Do we buy it or not? I am not saying don't seek counsel. But I am saying you have to develop and cultivate this relationship. To come to a point of trust. You must mature. If you take the Bible and start reading it, just like several testimonies I heard this morning, everybody talking about the Word of God. That is where life is.
That's right.
Not even your father or mother is permitted to come between both of you. If that marriage must succeed. I remember, again, my wife. I remember at the very early stage of our marriage. And I would come back home. And something would have happened. Maybe my siblings have done something. And then I would say something. And then my wife would say, yes, I know you love your siblings more than me. You love your brothers. You don't love me. You love your brothers. You love your sisters. You don't really love me. You love them more than me. I said, no. That was at the beginning of our marriage. I said, no, it's not so. As a man, I must balance issues. If something happens in my presence between you and my siblings, be sure that I will immediately step in and do the needful. But when it happens, when I'm not there, you know what they're going to say to me? They're going to say, he's taking side with the wife. How did he know that so and so happened when he wasn't there? It means you have reported them. I say it is your duty. You are their mothers. Because I'm marrying you, I'm the firstborn of the family, they are my younger one. You are supposed to relate as a mother and as a sister to them all. If they do something you don't like, you have the permission to do as needful. But if I come immediately, I say, hey, who among you did that to my wife? You see, I say, I'm going to create more trouble.
Yeah.
But if it happened in my presence, they can't go with it. And she saw the demonstration of it. I don't even permit my mom, my own mother, to do things I wouldn't like to my wife. Because biblical principle taught us that you must defend that woman. And she also doesn't have the permission to be rude to mother-in-law. No! So we must strike balance between relatives and our immediate family. That's biblical principles. So unity is your weapon. Okay, maybe we should move quickly from there. Let's get back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 to 12. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Your unity is your defense. Your unity is your defense. The devil doesn't want that home to succeed. And like some of the things we read in the Bible, if you go to the Bible, the devil came and came to the woman. Maybe I shouldn't jump. Let's just continue. We'll get back there very soon. Number four principle. Cleanliness is key to the healthiness of your marriage. Cleanliness. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 8 to 9. It says, let your garments always be white. Let your head lack no oil. I need to paint a picture here. I remember in those days, you know, I grew up also in the village, and I went to farm. You surprised? I know how to till the ground. We don't even use plow. We use hoe. Manually, you work and make heaps. So I went to farm. And in those days, village boys, when it is evening and you're back from farm, we all go shower and dress up nicely, have a nice coat, and make sure you have oil and whatever on your hair. Make sure it's shiny, because it's time for the boys in town to go hunt for girls. Does something like that happen in those days here in the U.S.? It happened? Yeah. Oh, so it means it's almost all over. And then we will dress nicely. You know, you'll be dressed and we want to attract somebody, right? If it happens today, except that, you know, children of these days, you know, they are millennial children. They do it in a different form. Your hair is shiny. Everything is well kept. Do you think that lady will like a man whose hair is not well kept? Huh? Tell me. Or is badly dressed? You think it's going to like? That's what the Bible says. It says, let your garments be white, be clean. Let your head lack what? No oil. Live joyfully with the wife. Your wife is going to like it when you are a neat guy. When you are always neat, your women like good things. That's the truth. Even men too like good things.
Yes.
You wouldn't like a woman that every time is badly kept, everywhere is dirty, the kitchen is dirty, the toilet is dirty, you leave, everything is dirty, everywhere scattered, and then do you think the man is going to like it when he comes back home, everywhere is dirty? No! Let your garment be white, be well kept. Tidy, neat. Bible say cleanliness. Not Bible. People say cleanliness is next to godliness. How can you be in a home and everywhere is unkempt? And you always have excuse. It's the children. It's the children. It's the children. Teach the children how to make it clean. The children too knows what is good. You can't put their food on a dirty table and they like it too. So tell them, you make it. I like my wife. She disciplines them when their room are unkept. Say, if I see this thing just floating around, you're in trouble. And if I discover that they are not listening, I'll come and add the man's voice. I'm going to beat you. That is how to live. Let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife of your youth, whom you love all the days of your vanity. That's how King James put it. Which he has given you under sun, and all the days of vanity, okay? For that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. There is nothing in this world. If we pursue everything, there is nothing. So why can't we live in peace and joyfully?
Yes.
You have just one life. Why must you live in troubles that you created by yourself? Mm-hmm. Nobody created some troubles are not from the devil. You created it. Every time you're always moody, you are moody, you are moody. You are never smiling. And you think the man, or you think the woman also, will not become moody one day. If the man is always smiling like me, and I'm always seeing a woman who is moody, one day I also become moody. And as a man, don't touch your face. Don't be too serious every time. Smile. Be cheerful. Even when the troubles are so much, smile. When you smile, smile begets smile. Laughter begets laughter. But anger begets anger. The next principle. I hope we are not tired. I know the time is done, but we are almost finishing. Recognize your God's given role in marriage and allow each other to function in it effectively.
There you go. That's good.
Recognize God's given role. Everybody's got a role in that family. The husband have their roles. The wives have their roles. Understand that role. Also understand that God has joined both of you together to be helpers of each other.
To be one-minded.
The truth is that if you see two people that are married, one will be strong in one area and will be weak in one area. And the other will be strong in those areas where the other partner is weak.
That's right.
Yeah. That is always true. My wife has her strength. She has her weakness. I have my strength. And I have my weaknesses. So you must recognize that two of you are not exactly the same.
That's right.
And you don't expect him or her to be exactly like you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the trouble always starts. There are some things, even when, you know, and the truth is that there are some things that are my weaknesses. I'm not doing them purposefully.
Right.
Maybe unconsciously I'm even doing them. And my wife would have repeated several, stop this thing, stop this thing. I said, I will stop. So I'm changing today. I'm changing now. And the next moment, I'm doing exact same thing. And she will come back. I know you already. I know you. Is that happening to you, sir?
Yes, sir. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do.
But you must recognize
yes.
that is the weakness of your partner. Mm-hmm. Don't make a mountain out of an anthill.
That's right.
That's how many marriages began to crumble. I told her every time, I don't like this. She kept repeating it. I don't. You are creating trouble.
Yes.
You are the one, you are the architect of your own trouble.
That's right.
Recognize your God's given role. Let's look at something in the book of Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruits of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now listen. That was an intruder that came into a family and started a conversation that concerns that family. And the woman was there welcoming that third party, discussing something that's got to do with our family. And probably the man also was standing there and he did nothing, listening to those conversations. That was the mistake of Adam and Eve. The role of the man was to defend that home.
Mm-hmm.
Yet somebody came in and you heard all those conversations and you did not interrupt. That was the trouble. Never allow someone commence a discussion about your family.
That's right.
With only your wife somewhere. It's going to be the genesis of troubles if you don't take your time. I thought the man ought to have stood up. Hey, who is there? Who are you talking to? Did we have a guest? Oh, yes, we have a guest. Sapet is here. Oh, Sapet is here. What have you come to do? Do you think that Sapet will wait and continue the discussion? No. Because he was never challenged by the man.
Never challenged.
Sure. And then the woman also thought, I can handle everything. I can handle everything. I can handle him. And then you commence conversation. You think you can handle it all alone? Bible says you are now one flesh.
Yeah.
Amen.
You don't undo anything by yourself. You jointly handle it together. The man also cannot handle it by himself. It has to be a joint discussion.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do we welcome this guy coming to discuss this matter with us?
No.
Then once you agree, you say, no, yeah, okay, all right, now you can leave. You have overstayed your welcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's how to handle it. That's how to handle it. Never you, my wife and I, immediately we got married, we told ourselves, no matter how troublesome this marriage is, we will never discuss. We never look for a third party to come and settle our quarrels.
Mm-hmm.
We told ourselves, we will settle the quarrel by ourselves because we know God's word.
Amen.
Don't think we don't have troubles or quarrels, especially in the first 3 years of our marriage. Almost every month, there is something to fight about. Almost every month, there is something to quarrel about. And I know my wife, you know, sometimes... One thing she never did.
Uh-oh.
If we had a quarrel, she never denied me my food. She will always make the food.
Yeah.
She never did that. But she will kill me with her silence.
More poison food.
She will just suddenly go quiet. I will be talking, no response. I will ask her our opinion, no response. Then I knew something is wrong.
Something
is wrong. And I made it a duty never to go to bed without resolving it.
Yeah.
I don't even go preaching. I remember a day I was given an appointment in one church. People were already waiting. About 300 people sitting to hear God's word. I was to preach. I told my wife, you want those people to keep on waiting without the preacher appearing? I'm not going anywhere if we don't resolve this. And I stayed there. I remember I was late. She can bear the witness. I was late to that meeting because I couldn't go and pretend on the altar.
Right.
When there is something wrong at home.
There you go. That's good.
My life is without a pretense. People who know me know I am as transparent as anything. I don't hide. Even my mom has come to know that. There was a time my mom, you know, things happen when you go into marriage the first time. Because now you have diverted the attention you were giving to them. You have diverted it to your loved one.
Sure, sure.
And you think they are going to be quiet like that. They don't also want to do those things intentionally. They do it unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened and I began to tell my wife, look, this is how I want my home. And you got to respect that. It's my mom. I respect you, my mom. You gave back to me. Wonderful. I love you. But you ever want to discuss anything with me, my wife got to be present. So my wife, in fact, they are so blended together now that you will think my mom gave back to my wife. There are some things my mom wants to discuss with me now. She will not come to me. She will go and discuss with my wife. That is how biblical marriage is supposed to be. Not one that when you want to talk to your siblings, you say, excuse me, my wife. And then you are what do you think will be going on in her heart? Maybe they're discussing me. Mm-hmm. That's where all those troubles start. I need to conclude now. Number 7. The hierarchy of marriage. You need to understand the hierarchy of marriage. Because if you don't understand the hierarchy of marriage, there will be troubles.
Sure.
The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. So every man must know that you are not just head because you want to use, you want to exercise authority. The Bible said, I am the head, so you must listen.
No, that's not what it means.
No. It simply means you are the representative of your wife before God. And you are accountable. Look at that scripture. Also, Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior. You are supposed to be the savior of your wife. It means you are the pastor. What are the characteristics of Christ? That is what your characteristics is supposed to be. You're supposed to be willing to die for your wife. That's what it means. If Jesus died for the church,
right,
you must be ready to die for your wife.
You
hear that? You must be ready. Otherwise, there is no point going into that marriage if you are not ready to die for her. You must be ready to clean her and make her beautiful, just like Jesus made the church beautiful and wiped away our sins and dressed us up. That's the responsibility. That's the hierarchy. In marriage, God is number one.
Yes.
And then the number two is the man. I hear people say it's the children. That's wrong. One day the children are going to be gone. Highest they will be with you 25 years. In fact, you have overstayed your welcome.
Time to go.
It's time to go once you're 25. In fact, once you're 20, in some cases. In fact, some people 18. They will be gone. And you'll be left with that same woman. Back to how you began at the beginning. And you say, my child first, my daughter first, my son. You are wrong. It's God first, and then both of you next. Then the children comes last. I'm not saying don't love your children. No. The Bible says two of you shall be joined together, and because it did not say you and your daughter, or you and your son. No. Two of you, man and woman, joined together to become one. That's the hierarchy of marriage. Because of our time, we're going to be stopping here. There is a part two of the message coming next Sunday. And we trust God to continue from where he's stopping with us this morning. Let us pray. Ancient Father, we thank you. Thank you for bringing your word to us this morning. We thank you for revealing the truth of the word of your word unto us. What you desire is righteousness and our willingness to obey. Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Thank you for exposing your knowledge unto us this morning.
Thank you.
It is our desire, O God, that you give us a willing heart to begin to correct those things that are already wrong in our relationship. Give us a simple heart to obey you. Because if we can obey you, that marriage will be sweet.
Yes, it will.
That marriage will be wonderful.
Yes, it will.
That marriage will be pleasant.
Yes, it will.
And that marriage will be glorious. That is your original concept.
Thank you,
Jesus. We pray this morning that you visit any home and every home that is confronted with challenges from the enemy right now, and help straighten out that marriage in the name of Jesus, so that your name may be glorified, and so that we might be examples unto our children and future generations that are coming behind us. Thank you, gracious Father. Let your name be praised, for in Jesus' glorious name we are prayed. Amen.